Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Zoom church is not church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
We have just finished our virtual church.
You can worship in the comfort of your own home and at your convenience.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the World Wide Web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, want to see a train wreck? Of course you do, and we have one. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to witness a disaster. Tucker Carlson sitting down with Senator Ted Cruz. The subject matter moved from politics to theology, and wow, did this train go off the rails? Senator Ted Cruz sharing why he supports Israel, quoting, I'll just put it this way, a Bible verse Tucker Carlson wasn't willing to accept, a rather vague reference to an Old Testament scripture. And he had some, I think he had some valid questions. We should be able to explain why, as evangelical Christians, we take great interest in what happens to Israel, how the Jewish people are being treated. Not unquestioningly, we're not Christian Zionists, but when you study the totality of the Bible, Old and New Testament, you see there's something peculiar about the Jewish people. There is something about them that God has determined, I'm not done with them. I still have a plan for them. I think that is crystal clear in Romans 9, 10, and 11. Senator Ted Cruz, he tried to simply cite, he didn't know the address, Genesis 12, 3, and Tucker Carlson took him to task on it. Now, I understand that there is stuff swirling around this conversation right now, stuff with Candace Owen, I think. I don't track it. Maybe something Tucker Carlson. I don't know all of that, so this isn't a commentary on any of their positions. I'm just telling you, Tucker Carlson, it was totally fair when Senator Ted Cruz used a Bible verse to support his thinking about Israel. I think Tucker had every journalistic right and every Christian right to have him explain. It did not go well.
Growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things.
Of those who bless the government of Israel?
Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of Israel.
This is where it gets tricky. Tucker Carlson is right. What is Israel? And you have to admit, it can be, I think, a little bit tricky, but I don't think it's devastatingly so. And we're talking about people who are ethnically Jewish. And we're also talking about two classes of Jews, if you will, Romans 9, 6 through 8. Not everybody who is of Israel is really a child of Abraham. Only those who are the child of the promise. In other words, what Paul is saying is you've got Jews that don't believe, and you've got Jews that do believe. Now, I don't think that that distinction that he's making in the context of the argument that he's building in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans disqualifies this current group of people that are living in that land from being Jewish because they do not follow the Messiah. They are not following their covenants. They are, for the most part, just an entirely secular people. And so I understand why there can be some confusion, but I think that just because Paul makes the distinction between believing Jews and unbelieving Jews, that does not cancel the promise of Genesis 12, 3, which is what Ted Cruz is citing. There was a covenant that was cut between Abraham and God. Specifically, God cut the covenant with Abraham. This is crucial because typically, if a covenant is a quid pro quo, it's a two-way street, like the Mosaic covenant. Read Deuteronomy 28 for the blessings and curses. You keep it, I bless you. You don't keep it, I curse you. That is not the case with the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham was sound asleep. God cut the covenant, the splitting of the animal, the pot passing through. This is a one-sided promise from God. You are going to have a land, the zip code of Israel, a nation. And by the way, Tucker is going to bring up, which areas of Israel exactly? Fair question, but nevertheless, the promise to Abraham in the covenant was a land, a nation, Jewish people, the seed, singular, that's our Savior, and then blessings. That's the promise that God made. And there is nothing in the Bible to indicate that he has changed his mind on that promise. He has not broken it. He has not determined it's out of date or obsolete. The Mosaic Covenant, Hebrews 8, 9, 10, that is set aside. The principles still exist. But that actual covenant has been superseded by the better covenant promised by Jeremiah, where God will give us a new heart with new desires, write his laws on our hearts. But the Abrahamic covenant is a covenant that continues to endure. And for my money, if you take a look at 1947, when the Jewish people, they received the land back because it was given to them by God, give or take 2200 BC, you gotta scratch your head and ask, how is it that a dispersed people that does not have a homeland for gazillions, okay, maybe not gazillions, just zillions of generations, how could they stay together when no other ethnic group has ever succeeded in doing that? You got to have a homeland to maintain being a people. They maintain being ethnically Jewish. Maybe it's because God still has a plan for them. The Abrahamic covenant endures, and hermeneutically, you would also have to say the promise to Abraham of a land, nation, a seed, and blessing. That this ongoing promise has not been revoked in any way, shape, or form. It does get tricky. I understand, because you've got those Romans 9, 2 classes of people. It does get tricky because we've got the church, which is not Israel. Nevertheless, hermeneutically, there is a principle from Genesis 12 that says, in general, if you bless Israel, if you bless the children of Abraham, you will be blessed. So that promise is, I think, still valid. Now, that's my explanation. Let's see if Ted Cruz can pull it off.
So that's in the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that.
Where is that?
I can find it to you. I don't have the scripture off the tip of my... You pull out the phone and use the...
It's in Genesis, but... So you're...
Oh. Perhaps a moral to the story, if you're going to share a big biblical idea, you might want to know the address and you might want to know exactly what text you're quoting and what the context is.
Quoting a Bible phrase, you don't have context for it and you don't know where in the Bible it is, but that's like your theology? I'm confused.
Now, again, I don't know where Tucker is and all of this stuff. I think there was some black clouds swirling around the subject. I'm frankly not interested in that. I'm interested in this conversation. What do we do with the current conflict? That's why this issue is of interest.
What does that even mean?
Tucker.
I'm a Christian. I want to know what you're talking about.
Okay. Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two...
Hold on. You're a senator and now you're throwing out theology and I am a Christian and I am allowed to weigh in on this. We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
See, here's where the confusion is. Supporting the government of Israel, I think packed into that means every decision they make. So we need to affirm the current government of Israel. We need to be able to understand that, because if we don't, this will be a muddle for us. You're going to have a difficult time taking Genesis 12:3 and applying the principle today. You're going to have a hard time with Romans 9. You're going to have a hard time with Romans 11. And so we need to I think, have a little tension here. As evangelicals, understanding Genesis 12:3, understanding Romans 9 through 11, understanding the book of Revelation, where Jewish people en masse get saved, we need to make a distinction, though, between the modern day government and Israel. We're supporting Jewish people. We believe that they have a right, a God-given divine right, that was redundant, to that land. That does not mean we have to endorse every single decision that the current government makes. We don't support them like that. And that is where I think this might be the most helpful aspect of all of this. We have a tendency to kind of muddle sometimes politics and theology. I think we need to keep it separate, really distinct in this situation. It doesn't mean that theology doesn't inform politics. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that the politics of modern day Israel is different than our theological hopes for the Jewish people, the theological plan, the theological future salvation of ethnic Israel. And so we can't get those two confused. I think that's what's happening here. I think Tucker is right. He's asking the question, so we're supposed to support the government of Israel no matter what they do? And the answer to that is no, we're not. Well, then how is it that you're supposed to bless Israel or you'll be cursed? It's because we are for the Jewish people. It is because we believe they have a divine right to that land. It is because we understand there's a future promise for Israel. And so we support theologically that. Politically, we don't have to support everything. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute, Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Lawson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice.
After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
While it's not crystal clear, it's clear enough. This is Wretched Radio. Tucker Carlson sitting down with Senator Ted Cruz, suddenly having a theological conversation. And wow, did it ever get messy.
We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And we're
what does
told,
that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
But what? Hold on, define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
Okay, that was a very fair question from Tucker Carlson. I understand that question. And I'm not sure it's quite as simple as just saying Israel, because of the distinction between the biblical support and command for us to support Jewish people, their right to the land of Israel, our hopes for a future salvation of Israel. That's a theological plane. But then you've got the government of modern day Israel. It's not the same thing per se. I get it. They're related. And I understand why there can be confusion about this, but this is why I think we need to be able to articulate it clearly. The government of modern day Israel is not in view in the Bible. The people, the zip code, the seed, the blessings, that is what is in view in the Genesis 12:3 promise to the nation of Israel. We have to do better than Senator Ted Cruz did. I'm not trying to bag on the guy. I'm just saying we got to do better than this. He was taught this, he said, since Sunday school, but was he able to articulate it well?
That's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
And he's, so is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
This would have been so easy. Ted Cruz could have said, yes, okay, if you want to put it that way, the nation of Israel, yes. But that does not mean that as Christians, we endorse all of the policies of every government and that we can't be critical. We would be doing this regarding the Iran and Israeli conflict, the current one. We'd be doing this if it were Iran and the Philippines. Is it just? Is this a conflict that the Bible would say actually has a right side and a wrong side? We would do that with any nation, not just with Israel. Having said that, that's the political side. The theological side is land, nation, seed, and blessing.
Nation, the descendants of Abraham. Referring to in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
The conflation of politics and theology here. And I think it could have been cleared up really easily by simply stating, we believe Genesis 12:3, Romans 9 through 11. We believe the future promise and salvation of Israel, but that's different than endorsing any government per se.
Yes, it is. Okay. And by the way, it's not run by Benjamin Netanyahu as a dictator. It's a democratic country that elected.
He's the prime minister,
right?
What?
But just like, you know, America is the country run by Donald Trump. No, actually, the American people elected Donald Trump. The same principle.
That kind of got off the rails. I'm sorry, Tucker Carlson. That's one of the most affecting laughs. It's just it. You kind of just get taken by it, don't you?
It's silly. I'm talking about the political entity of modern Israel.
Yes, and that is
you
it. That
believe
is
that's what God was talking about yes. in Genesis.
I do, but
that country's existed since when?
For thousands of years. Now there was a time when it didn't exist, and then it was recreated just over 70
years.
But
I'm saying, I think most people understand that line in Genesis to refer to the Jewish people, God's chosen people.
That's not what it says.
Okay, Israel, but you don't even know where in the Bible it is. So I don't know.
Remember the scriptural citation. But okay, I keep
it's like Genesis 16 or something like that.
It's Genesis 12, but Tucker was closer.
Yes, it's in the earlier part of the book. But the point is...
All right, Tucker, you keep interrupting me before I finish my sentence.
It's just important to know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... So you're saying as a Christian, if I believe in Jesus, I have to support the modern state of Israel?
No, I'm not.
Okay, again, too sloppy. I think what makes this clearer is that distinction between politics and theology. The government... God would never ask us to support any government that is evil. And so we need to look at this current conflict and ask some questions. All right, who's just? Who has the right? Is this something that is within the boundaries of what we would call just war theory, give or take 6 points? Is it proportional? Is it because we've been attacked? Are we just being an aggressor because we're just kind of torqued at those people? Those questions need to be asked and answered no matter what nation it is. The fact that it's Israel doesn't get them off the hook from satisfying what makes for a just war and an evil war.
Saying that, I'm explaining for me what my vote motivation is.
But so I'm just trying to understand. You said God tells you to support the modern state of Israel in the Bible, in some place in the Bible that you heard about, but you don't know where it is.
That was a little snarky, Tucker.
That's your theology?
You're going back, am I a sleazy feline again? I mean,
if you accuse me of anti-Semitism again, I will say that, but I don't think you will.
I don't know what was going on with that. Perhaps a little clarity can be created. As we listen to an individual at Grace Community Church ask this question, I think this is give or take about 10 months old. Nevertheless, it applies as much today as it did then. Whether they're talking about what they call Palestine and Israel, or today Iran and Israel. This is Dr. John MacArthur responding to this question.
Considering the spiritual state of Israel now in relation to their rejection of Christ, are we as Christians obliged to stand with the nation of Israel, politically speaking?
That is a great question. And did you hear his preamble? Because of the state of their salvation, are they really Israel? Good question.
Yeah, I think we are obliged to stand as protectors of the Jews. Okay, that's Genesis 12. You bless the seed of Abraham, you're blessed. You curse them, you're cursed. God puts the whole world on notice. These are my chosen people. I have a plan for them. Yes, they have followed idols. Yes, they have been punished and judged. Yes, they rejected their Messiah. Yes, they are still, this Jews are living and dying and going out of the presence of God forever now. But still, God has a future plan for the Jewish people, and we have to be protectors of them.
In other words, you've got an Old Testament principle that I believe carries forward because the Abrahamic covenant is a one-sided agreement. God promised you're always going to have this land. You're always going to be a nation out of which will come a seed and blessings for the whole world. That, by the way, is going to be fulfilled far more in the millennial reign. Nevertheless, there's also a future, a New Testament reason that we should take great interest in the Jewish people and that particular zip code, the future promises of the salvation of Israel. And God is not done with them. And Paul had a great desire for them to be saved. So when it comes to taking a look at the current geopolitical situation, I want to support that. Do I want to support all of the military endeavors? That's just simply a different issue. That is simply a different subject. The current government is not what we're commanded to support. We are commanded to support what is written in Genesis 12 and understand that based on Romans 9 through 11.
I think any nation that tries to eliminate the Jewish people has made a bad, bad decision because the Bible is filled with the promises of God that no one will annihilate them. And anyone who tries will be annihilated. Now, this doesn't mean that we are required to give them money for you know, what they do politically or militarily. I think that's a different issue. But we are to understand that God has a plan for Jewish people and that we want always to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the preservation of the Jewish people until the time when they see their Messiah and salvation comes to Israel. So it's not the governmental entity of Israel that we support. It's the Jewish people. And they're constituted now, obviously, globally in their own nation. And so we should be protectors of that people and that nation. There is no biblical promise about protecting Arabs or Scottish people or English people or Hispanic people, but there is a warning from God to be sure you're protecting Jewish people. And if you do that, God promises to bless you.
Tucker, Senator, if you're watching or listening, perhaps that will help get your theological understanding on the rails. This is Wretched Radio.